Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey everybody, I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
And we are Graveyard Tales.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy from Hillbilly Horror Stories.
We want to invite you out to see us, Hillbilly Horror Stories, EVP Mediums, and Macabre Melts at our live event in Nashville on October 20th.
This paranormal event is at the perfect location, Hell Dark Aesthetics, better known as
Hell Nashville,
where you can buy books on witchcraft, Aleister Crowley, or maybe you just want to buy an animal skull or a bundle of sage, maybe some tarot cards or a Ouija board.
Showtime is 7 p.m. till 11 p.m. All ages are welcome, and tickets are only $10. Now, you can get full access to all of us for just $10. Every ticket is a VIP ticket.
And EVP Mediums will be performing a spirit box session.
Get your tickets from hillbillyhorrorstories.com or graveyardpodcast.com. Hey guys, Jerry and Tracy, welcome back to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Tonight we have episode 109.
A niner. Hi guys.
Did you just use a niner?
Hope you guys are enjoying the long weekend.
For those of you who have a long weekend, Tracy seems to forget not everybody in the country gets the long weekend.
Well.
Or everybody in this country does.
Yeah.
But like, it's not Labor Day everywhere.
I know, that's true. And if you don't, sorry about your luck.
And you know what? We're on that subject. Like when we do like feet, I try to remember to do meters and stuff like that. So everybody outside of the country, and I dead up forget most of the time.
Well, I'm like, when do we do something about feet? What have I been missing?
So I forget about the measurements when we do temperature and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get better, but I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I just now thought about that. And there's some measurements in tonight's episode that I did not translate over. So
sorry guys, he's a slacker.
I am. I forget that we've got some of our listener base outside of this country that use the metric system. So anyways, we want to give a big thank you to all of you that we had an awesome month this
we
past
did.
Month
it was amazing.
Review wise, Patreon wise, we had more new signups for Patreon than we've ever had in a month. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you guys. And we had a bunch of people that joined our group today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was so fun. It's like we had a couple in the morning, and then we looked again. And it was like, bam. There was like 10 people all of a sudden. So we love that. The more the merrier. And welcome to our group.
We have a very cool show for you tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I had never heard of this place until like Monday.
Oh, okay.
And I'll get into a little more about how this show came to be. But first, we want to say a big thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent.
Yes, thank you guys. God bless you so much. We love you.
And of course, if you're struggling with anything going on with life. Life can be very tedious at times, and it can be a real downer that you've got people who are willing to talk to you. Don't feel like you need to take a step that you really don't need to take.
I know. Amen. It sounded
redundant, but
no, but it makes sense.
The reality of it is we all go through tough times. Some people handle it a little better than others at times, and then sometimes it's just the wrong time at the wrong place, and mm-hmm. it seems so just non-overcomable. Yeah. I don't even know if that's a word.
I don't know either, but I dig that word, actually. So, it's pretty good.
But you got help. You've got friends. You've got the suicide prevention line in the United States, 1-800-273-8255. If you're more of a texter, like today's age for the most part is, 741-741. And you can always contact us, mm-hmm. Jerry and Tracy.
Absolutely.
Through our email, Facebook page, phone numbers. It's all on our website. So you can do that. And also, of course, our group is fantastic for this. We have more people help each other out in our group than I was just telling Tracy yesterday about how out of everything that we've done, I am so proud of what we've been able to create as a support system.
Oh, I agree with you. It's really refreshing. And we appreciate you guys so much with your inputs.
Are we ready to get started on this story tonight?
Of course.
I want to jump right into it because this one's it's kind of a longer one. So.
Okay.
That's what she said. ForHims.com. So anyway, so we did a few weeks ago, we did a story on Lake Lanier in Georgia, you'll remember. And we had a listener that sent us an email and said that there's a lake in her area that she thinks rarely gets any kind of publicity as far as like on paranormal shows or stuff like that. And she wanted to make me aware of it. So, Miss Juliet Brown, thank you for making me aware of Crater Lake in Oregon.
Crater Lake.
So this place is pretty damn spooky.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's not one of those stories where there's going to be a ton of things where it's like, oh, my God, that scares to death. There really, really isn't really, I said really like five times.
You did.
So I really didn't mean to do that. What? The story is more about odd stuff that happens, which the same thing with Lake Lanier, mm-hmm. but there at least was some paranormal aspects of it. There's really not ghost-type paranormal stuff, but there's some weird stuff that goes on, so I think you're going to find this interesting.
I'm sure I will.
All right, so Crater Lake is a hotbed for strange disappearances, ghostly encounters, legendary beasts, Bigfoot himself.
He visited there?
He's been known to show up there a time or two. So before we get into all the spookiness, let's try to find out a few facts about Crater Lake. So Crater Lake is in southern Oregon, and it's the deepest lake in the United States.
Wow, how deep is it?
Well, it's so deep. That was my bad Johnny Carson. It's the seventh deepest in the world. So it's right at about 2,000 feet deep, which I forgot to do the meters.
Oh my gosh.
It's also the clearest and the cleanest water in the United States.
Oh, see, it's worth that then.
It was formed from a volcanic eruption at Mount Mazana over 7,000 years ago. So what happened was on this volcanic eruption, the blast was believed to be 42 times stronger than the eruption at Mount St. Helens in 1980 in Washington. Do you remember? You remember that, right?
That's incredible.
No, that's a different show. This is Hillbilly Horror Stories.
You're dumb. Continue Anyways, on.
It expelled so much hot liquid magma. It just said magma, but I added the hot liquid. That the summit of the mountain collapsed and formed a giant crater. So over time, it kind of sealed itself off, and then it allowed rain and the melting snow to kind of fill in the crater, forming the lake.
Oh, that's so cool. I like that.
There are some cinder cones that were formed in the lake due to some earlier eruptions, but only one of these managed to make its way out of the surface so you can actually see it, you mm-hmm. know, abovehand. In 1985, Will G. Steele named it Wizard Island.
Wizard Island.
Yeah, because he said it looked like it resembled a wizard hat sticking out of the...
Oh, that's pretty neat.
I've seen pictures that really doesn't. Maybe it's changed a lot over the years. Oh. But I've posted some pictures so you'll be able to see it. So Native Americans inhabited this area way before the eruption, and they believed it was a sacred place. Some believed that if you looked at the lake, you would die instantly.
What?
That's what they believe. Crater Lake went undiscovered by settlers due to the fact that local tribes would steer away visitors from going there. So
I wonder why that would happen.
Well, we'll get into it.
Oh.
After 100 and some weeks, you should know eventually those questions will all be answered.
I know. I was just thinking of them now, though.
So when the Native Americans would be, you know, asked about it, or if there was anything mm-hmm. like in the area, that they would always just deny the existence. It just, well, just don't exist. So they just would conveniently leave it out when they were talking to settlers and stuff like that. So there's so many legends about Wizard Island and the lake that we're not going to be able to cover all of them here. Trust me, there's a bunch of them. We're only going to be able to scratch the surface. And then there's so many other aspects besides that part. Mm-hmm. We'll save some. We'll probably do...
maybe a two-parter?
No, we won't do a two-parter, but maybe we'll do some of the other Native American legends during the Hillbilly Shorts or something. Okay. Like we did with... what's that one place we did?
South Carolina?
The Triangle.
Oh, the Triangle.
So one of the stories told by the Klamath tribe, I'm sure I mispronounced that, it could be Klamath, but the Klamath tribe starts with some of the members of the tribe returning from a hunting trip, right? So they stood at the top of the mountain and they noticed a lake below. Well, feeling like they probably had invaded some kind of forbidden territory, they left and set up camp pretty far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members though, of the tribe, he couldn't resist another peek, so he snuck back to take a look.
Oh gosh.
He said when he walked away, he felt stronger.
Stronger?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
So then he went back a second time. He said he felt even stronger after that. Then he went back a third time, and he went down the deep slope.
And he combusted.
No, he went down the deep slope, and he bathed in the water.
Ooh, he's got some big cojones.
He does. So walking away after the bath, he said that he felt not only the strongest, but he also felt skilled, and he became the strongest, most skillful member in the entire tribe. So now all the other members decided they were going to go do the same thing. So each bathed in the water and became faster runner and better hunters. This went on for a while until one day, one of the braves was kind of bathing in the water. And for some unknown reason, he decided that he was going to kill one of the water creatures that was in there.
Okay, well, that's stupid. What a dumb move.
I know. So several hundred lake creatures attacked and killed him.
Well, hey, that's what you get.
All of the warriors lost their newfound skills, so it just kind of like went away instantly.
Oh, man.
And they were no longer welcome in the lake. So that's, you know, a little bit about the beginning of some of the Native American tales. But the lake's known for a lot more than just Native American folklore.
But it was so nice in the beginning. They were like, the lake was being nice, and then somebody had to be a jerk and go mess it up for everybody.
It's always the case. So this story surfaced around May of 2002. A woman named Maddie Hatcher, and she was from Georgia, Albany, Georgia. She visited the lake when she was a little girl. She was in a rowboat with some of her friends, and she said something about a block long swam underneath the boat. She described it as a dragon-type monster.
That is long.
I know it. So she said. Can I do two of those a show?
I guess you just did.
Okay. So no one has made any other claims about dragons or anything in the lake since this happened. But if there is a dragon, it may not be the only cryptid that's living out there on the lake or in that vicinity. Crater Lake National Park has all kinds of stories, and obviously it's named after Crater Lake. So on June 8th or 9th, 1976, I guess they weren't sure, Chief Park Naturalist George Morrison saw what he believed to be a Sasquatch-type creature.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was crossing South Road at dusk, and it was heading into Ann Creek Canyon.
Ann Creek Canyon?
Ann Creek Canyon.
Okay.
He said approximately 2 years later, two park rangers reported seeing a large creature in the forest with a foul odor, and they said the creature started throwing pine cones at him. So you got some kind of Sasquatch type sightings.
Well, I don't know why he always gets talked about being stinky. That would hurt my feelings.
He got the cleanest water around. Bathe. The Indians did it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Native Americans.
Yeah, but you don't see what happened to them, yeah. So
anyways, so you got that. And we're breezing through just a bunch of the stuff. We're going to get into more details mm-hmm. of some of these occurrences and stuff. You've had several deaths that have also taken place at Crater Lake. Some pretty damn peculiar. So between 1926 and 1997, at least 13 people have fallen to their death due to steep slopes.
Mm-hmm.
There have also been several plane crashes, car wrecks, and recreational accidents. Two executives from United Motor Service, which is a subsidiary of General Motors, were found shot to death execution styles July 19th of 1952 at the park.
Oh.
Word kind of spread about it. People flocked to the site and it contaminated the whole crime scene.
Oh, jeez.
The crime remains unsolved today. Probably because they didn't.
That is so sad, man.
A number of suicides have also occurred here. Rangers have said they've reported seeing campfires burning on Wizard Island. And by the time people get out there to check it out, the fires are all gone. And there's no sign
of anybody?
Of anybody or of a fire. Jan Kerwin, who's one of the rangers, she witnessed a campfire outside the designated campfire area. And she said there was about 10 people surrounded by this huge fire. When she went to confront them, all the traces of any people in the fire were completely gone. And we're going to talk more about that story in detail in a little bit. There's been sightings of mysterious lights. And they said that these lights kind of streak across the sky. Mm-hmm. Almost like a meteor or something, but it's not meteors. So with that being said, obviously UFOs are no stranger to the lake either. In February 1997, a jet pilot, he was like a, he wasn't part of the military. He was just flying his plane. But he reported that military aircraft were pursuing a UFO over top of the lake.
Whoa.
He said he personally saw it.
He saw the UFO?
Yeah, and the planes, the military aircraft chasing it. Man. Also, he said that night a loud sonic boom was heard all across Western Oregon.
So, that's amazing.
I know, kind of spooky.
It is very spooky. I'd be so scared to be, like, even in his plane flying. I mean, to see that UFO and then to see all the planes above it.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I don't know what I would do besides maybe urinate on myself, maybe defecate on myself.
Well, that's a little too much information, but I would be in panic mode, I would think.
But same thing. So anyway, I've just given you, like I said, a little tease of all the activity that go on to Crater Lake to kind of show you the different types of activities that are going on, because it's pretty widespread. So let's look a little deeper into some of these occurrences. We told you that there were lots of Native American folklore, so let's learn a few more of those stories.
Okay.
The Klamath tribe said that if you gazed upon the lake, you would invite death and lasting sorrow. So that goes back to what we were talking about saying
just
you
for looking
die.
At the lake.
Just for looking at it. The Modoc tribe, who lived on its, I guess, the border really close to for about 1,000 years before they had the eruption of the volcano, and they said that the place is evil. They believe that it's home to dark spirits and that people disappeared there. So the Klamaths hold the lake sacred. They believe that it's the crossroads of the spirit from above, which is a spirit of peace and goodness. They call this spirit Skell, like skull but with an E.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also believe that there was a spirit of below, kind of like a little, you know, evil type thing, who was the spirit of fire, darkness, and terror, and they called him Laos.
Laos.
So they believe that a battle happened between these two entities, and the mountain was collapsed after the Skell, the godlike creature or character, whatever in this story. Once he kind of defeated the evil one, he collapsed the mountain so it would basically cover up the portal from the
seal
evil
it off.
One. Yeah, it would seal it off. And then he covered it with clear water as a sign of everlasting peace.
Oh, good for him.
But then Skell kind of cast Laos's limbs into the lake, and he tricked the water animals in there, who were really faithful to Laos, into devouring him.
Oh, gosh.
So they were just sitting there, and they're, you know, chewing and slapping and eating.
Oh,
and
eating, having
all this stuff,
down.
Having filled it. And then they came across his head. And then that's when they realized, like, oops.
Hey, don't I know you?
So they wouldn't touch it.
They didn't eat his head?
Yeah, they wouldn't touch it. And today, it can be seen sticking out of the water, but it's better known as Wizard Island.
Oh my gosh, you can see his head?
Well, it's just an island, but that's what the story was.
Oh.
That's what it was.
Ooh.
So Laos' spirit is said to be at home right there on that little island, sticking up Wizard Island. So technically, the Klamath version of Satan is living right there in Crater Lake.
That's scary.
So we're going to talk some more about some of these Native American legends and stuff, probably on Hillbilly Shorts this week, because I want to get to some of these other stories. So we talked about some Sasquatch sightings earlier. Supposedly, there have been two different Sasquatch killings here on the Crater Lake. Now, one reportedly was killed by a car, when it was hit by a car, but the government came in and just whisked the body away, which, you know, that's what the government does.
Dang, they must be hiding in the bushes or something.
So the other one was hit by a train. The train conductors didn't report it, though. He said that he was afraid that if he reported that to his bosses, they would think that he was drinking on the job.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, it's unknown what happened to the body of the second incident. Of course, the first one was taken away by the government, but there's no anything being said about what happened to the second body. So as interesting as these stories are, it's kind of hard to give them any credence with the lack of having a body or any trace of evidence such as hair or blood or beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
We talked briefly about UFOs. Now, as far as UFOs go, there's not really a lot of detailed story here in that area. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got the story we told earlier, which is probably the most detailed story. Now, there's also a video that I found on YouTube that I thought was pretty cool. It's back from 1949. And at the very least, it's intriguing. It's only a few seconds long, but it's worth taking a look at. Mm-hmm. Just go put in UFO Crater Lake.
Oh.
And it's, like I said, it's probably like 12, 13 seconds long, but it shows this thing go through like a little saucer type thing.
Oh, man.
And it flies over top, and it's like grainy footage and stuff.
Like it flies over the lake, not down in the lake?
No, it flies over the lake and like kind of goes behind a rock where you can't see it, but it's worth checking out if you haven't done it. So there's been some witnesses of seeing some UFOs flying in formation over top of the lake. It says supposedly they're doing some kind of impossible maneuvers and buzzing over the tree line. There's also been a few people say that they've seen this entering and exiting the water itself.
Oh, that'd be cool to see.
So some have even seen it going into Mount Mazama itself, which of course led to some theories and speculation of like having a UFO base inside there, mm-hmm. or a secret advanced underwater, or not underwater, underground civilization.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I never would have thought of stuff being in a mountain.
And if you remember, though, this story came up before, similar with that, at Mount Shasta we did, which isn't that far away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mount Shasta, that was one of the things, was people think that there's a very intelligent civilization living inside the mountain. So mm-hmm. that's not a new story, and those both of those places are really close to each other, which probably helped to spread that rumor there. Now, some of this sounds like folklore speculation, as you can imagine. But the missing people are not. And there are several of those stories that we're going to talk about. And all this just gives a bunch of strange layers over this whole case of, is there something paranormal going on at Crater Lake? I keep wanting to say Camp Crystal Lake.
I know. It's kind of, I've thought that myself, actually.
As a matter of fact, that's how the lake was discovered in the first place by a non-Native American, is them searching for a missing person.
Oh.
So this goes all the way back to the
beginning.
Interesting. So in 1853... a group left out of Eureka, California to find their lost friend whose name, oddly enough, was Set 'Em Up.
Set 'Em Up?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You'll hear the story about that in a second. He had mysteriously disappeared from a mining camp that was at the base of Mount Mazama. Set 'Em Up always came to Eureka, and he always had like a nice little amount of gold in a little satchel.
Mm-hmm.
And he would throw it up on the counter, and he would be like, Set 'Em Up.
Oh, everybody,
for everybody
around
in the bar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's how he got his name. Nobody knows what his real name was. Apparently, it got lost through history. So everybody just knows him as Set 'Em Up. So after he hadn't been in town for a little while, some of his quote-unquote friends began to worry about him. More importantly, they were probably worried about his mine and his gold.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I probably wouldn't be flaunting that gold out there like that.
So after a few years, then they start figuring, well, he's probably not around, so he probably doesn't need the gold anymore, and maybe us being his friends should be the one to go find it.
Mm.
And, you know, because apparently this was his own little gold mine deal that nobody knew about.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to take out and look for it, because, you know, being his loyal friends and all. So they had a rough idea about where this mine was, so they headed out. They grabbed some supplies from Jacksonville, Oregon, and they started to explore the forests that are right around Mount Mazama. They were following these rough directions that Set 'Em Up had given them in the past, and they hit a fork in the road. Half went to the left, the other half went to the right. They decided they would, you know, search like this, and they would all meet back up at nightfall. So once the two teams split, they decided to split up again so they could cover more ground quicker.
At nightfall?
No, not...
Oh, just
is,
the next
this
day?
This is before they met back up.
Oh.
So Isaac Skeeter, he went to the right. He's one of the guys who went to the right. And he got to a part where his horse decided it wasn't going to go anymore. It wouldn't budge. So he was curious what the deal was. So he gets off the horse, and he finds that he's at the rim of the lake. Which you think? Just think about this lake being like a giant bowl.
Yeah.
And the rim was just being the top, like you would think of a rim of a coffee cup or something. So, because you'll hear rim a lot during these stories. So he's at the rim of the lake. He was disappointed at first because he felt like that he had obviously went the wrong way because he's out of room. Mm-hmm. He can't go any further.
Yeah.
So he hurried back to the camp to see if anybody else had had any luck. When he got back to the fork in the road, there was a man named John Wesley Hillman. He had went left, and he comes riding up, and he's waving and flailing his arms, and, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, maybe he's found something. Well, he did find something. He found a small cabin that was, they said it was in shambles, but he found a small cabin behind the stream coming from Shallow Canyon. So these two are like, okay, let's go get it, you know, because they think this is the shack where the gold is.
Yeah.
So they're galloping through the forest when Hillman's horse lost his footing on the rock and tumbled off the edge of the canyon, killing Hillman and his horse on impact.
Oh, horsey.
When Hillman died, he took the whereabouts of the cabin with him.
Oh, dang.
So, shouldn't be an issue because, hell, he found it, so they'll just go over there and find it again.
Right.
Despite their best efforts, Skeeter and the team could not ever locate the cabin near the creek. So they got really low on supplies and they ended up having to head home, and all they found was a lake. But to this day, no one has ever found that cabin again.
That is bizarre. How frustrating for them too.
Right. So Set 'Em Up definitely wasn't going to be the last person to disappear in this area. Trust me. Here's a few of the quickies on what's happening. February 1911, there was a photographer from Oregon City. His name was B.B. Bukowski. He wanted to take some cool winter pictures of the lake, because you can imagine how beautiful this is in wintertime.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He got there no issue at all. He set up his camp. He even built a snow cave for emergencies, and he even stocked it with food. So he was set up. I guess a snow cave is kind of like an igloo, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
He took lots of pictures and just vanished. There were some massive blizzards that apparently hit Crater Lake right around that time. They recovered Bukowski's sled and a shovel about a mile and a half from the rim, but there was no trace of his body ever. To this day, it's not been found. That was 1911.
How does that happen?
Well, it gets a lot stranger, trust me.
It's too bad his camera wasn't left behind somehow.
Well, they found his camera.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. That's how they knew he finished his pictures and stuff.
Oh.
So why would he leave the safety of his camp in the middle of a blizzard? And because he had supplies and stuff. They found everything fully stocked. And the other question was, how was he able to get so far out of the search radius in a blizzard is still unexplained today. I mean, he's a mile and a half away in a blizzard in rough conditions.
Maybe a bear ate him. And there was no evidence.
Maybe so. Later that same year, a visitor said that a Native American guides will take you to that point near the rim, and then they will wait for you with their backs turned to the mountain. So maybe they know something that Blatowski didn't know.
But why would people go back there then if they know the guides are not even going to go near that?
Well, because most people assume that the Native Americans are just full of folklore and stuff like that, and you can't, you know, that's just what their strange beliefs are. Doesn't, but there's no factual reasons behind that.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's so weird. I think that's the weirdest thing, that people just disappear off the face of the earth and you never ever see them again. That is bizarre.
Well, oddly enough, that brings us to the most bizarre missing person case.
Oh.
In 1975, there's another photographer, Charles McCullough. He also disappeared during harsh February storms. Even with help from the FBI and Charles's father, who put everything he had into this, no trace was found. So a year later, in 1976, two hikers saw what they thought was a skeleton down in Box Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a really remote area of the park, so like nobody goes down there. This was more than 12 miles from where Charles had been taking pictures along the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the time of his disappearance, 12-foot snowdrifts had piled up, and they said that there was 102 inches of fresh snowfall had fell in the park during this little bit of time.
102 inches.
So for any person, especially one that was ill-equipped to make make it because he didn't have the equipment, snowshoes, nothing mm-hmm. like that, to end up 12 miles away, it was just unfathomable.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind because it's going to get a little bit more weird. So the hikers that thought they saw, you know, the skeleton, they go down there and they found a backpack. And they go ahead and they bring this backpack. It's all tattered and everything. And it's got some, you know, a few other items besides that. They take it up to the ranger station. The rangers went through the stuff and they found a Volkswagen key that immediately told them that it belonged to Charles.
Aww.
So now they know this was his bag.
That was him.
So they got on some horses and they rode down to the canyon. They definitely didn't expect what they found. It was so surreal that a ranger who's got 30 years experience said it was the strangest thing he had ever seen.
What?
It appeared as if Charles, and this was his words, had melted right into his jeans while sitting on a log.
Melted?
Think
How do
about
you do
it.
That?
Well, I'm going to paint this picture for you and you'll see what he's saying. It's not that he really melted. It's just what we got. Think about this. You got a pair of jeans on a log. Now, keep in mind also, these jeans, after a year, were in near perfect condition. So you got a pair of jeans. There was a pair of socks up in the pants legs.
Mm-hmm.
As if...
Like he, yeah.
Yeah, like
they were still wearing them.
Like he was still wearing them. Inside the socks, there was some toe bones and a little bit of splintered shin bone.
Oh my gosh.
The rest of Charles was gone. So you got a pair of pants sitting there with the socks still in there, toe bones, and a little bit of shin, and that's it.
No shirt or anything?
Nothing. They did eventually, about 12 feet away, find a few small bone fragments and the crown of his skull. But that's it. That was all they ever found of Charles McKellar. So to add more weirdness, Charles's jeans, like I said, was unbuttoned and his belt was undone. So no shirt or coat was ever found. And the strangest part is his boots were never found. Why is that so strange? Because rangers say they always find the boots. They're essential for being out, you know, traveling through the woods. Animals don't take them. And they last for about a century. Because they just don't wear, you know, waste away out there. So to this day, they've never found it. So here's the mystery. How did Charles navigate 12 miles in 8.5 feet of snow without proper clothes or equipment? Why did he undress himself? Where's the rest of his remains?
I think the aliens got him. What do you think?
I mean, you never know. I have no idea. It reminds me a lot of Dyatlov Pass when we did that story and people were, you know, they left the comfort of their tent, was out in a blizzard, and they had their shoes off and all that. Now, some people will say that when you get hypothermia, that you get really hot. You get delirious and you get really hot and you'll think you're hot when you're really freezing and you'll take clothes off trying to. So maybe that's what happened there. But that still doesn't explain why his bottom half.
His toes and stuff.
I mean, everything was there. Why was his jeans in perfect shape? How would an animal been able to get all that stuff away? But his socks and stuff still remain in his. How was that even possible?
It's got to be an alien. It has to be. They zapped him up and down.
So these stories are strange enough, but when you put it with all the rest of the stories of the lake, it takes on a whole new mysterious feel. So here's a list from the park's website of some stuff that I looked up. October 1991, Glenn Allen Mackey. His car was found in the parking lot. It had just started snowing, so it hadn't been snowing for long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They found his keys, his driver's license, his passport, and cash. No trace of him was ever found. That was 1991.
Oh my gosh, that was not long ago.
February 1975, National Guard conducted a massive ground and air search for a missing Cessna 182 plane that disappeared with three members on board. Nothing was found until 1982.
What did they find?
They found the crash site and the three skeletons. But that's another plane crash that happened over the site. In March 28th of 1971, a guy named Nick Carlino, he went and got him some snowshoes and stuff. They were staying there because there's like a resort there.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to go out and he was going to use his snowshoes and look around a little bit. His German Shepherd that he was with came back to the cafeteria without him. So the wife got, you know, startled, obviously, and she got a search party. they went out and they found tracks that led straight to the edge and then just disappeared.
Oh, the lake?
So nobody ever found him.
Oh.
Summer 1956, another photographer fell to his death. So that's three photographers just in the store that's already died out there. December 2nd, 1945, seven planes left Redding, California, heading towards Washington. As their formation reached some clouds right near the park, a plane disappeared. An official investigation in 1970, that's when they found, keep in mind, this was what, 1945, they found the pilot in 1970 of this plane.
And, in the plane?
Well, this happened because there was a gentleman that was back there hiking, right? And he was sitting on a log, and he was like, man, I don't know which direction to really go. So he was thinking about it.
Oh, my
and he
gosh.
Said he felt like something was watching him. So he starts kind of just scanning the tree line, looking around.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks, and he sees a skull staring at him from underneath a log.
Oh.
And it turns out that was the pilot.
Wow.
So we're going to end on one of the really strange stories.
I don't want to go hiking tomorrow.
Well, I don't think we're going to this lake, so. I'm going to end I'm going to save the best story, or at least my favorite. I'm not going to say it's the best. Everybody will probably have a different opinion, but my favorite one we're going to save for last. So first, remember we were talking about the park ranger from earlier, Jan Kerwin, who saw the 10 people mm-hmm. and the fire had disappeared. She calls Crater Lake Ghost and Goblin Park. From the old Native American legends to modern tales, there's definitely a unique feeling to this place. Remember him, and we talked about him, the guy that fell off the bluff with his horse. He supposedly was greeted by a solid white deer with pink eyes as he was exploring the area. That was one of the things he told the other guy.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
So let's talk more about Kerwin's story. So she was patrolling the road that night. She spotted 10 people around a roaring fire. They were camping illegally in the forest far from the designated campground. So they got a campground for this, and they were just out in the woods, but you can't do that. She parked her car. She entered the woods. When she got there, there was nothing. No people, no fire, no scorched ground, no smell in the air, nothing. She was distressed and a little pissed off at these people just being as careless as they were, and she's still not thinking anything about it. So she stands behind a tree, and she calls for backup. Another ranger shows up. They search the whole area. No sight of anything. So then they go back to their station, I guess. Her and her partner, they're talking to the other rangers, and they tell them about what happened, what their experience was. They learned that the site that where she saw this, mm-hmm. where this phantom campfire was the former site of the old Park Service campground.
Oh.
They called it Cold Spring. And before Crater Lake, this was Crater Lake was a state park. They had the Klamath tribe, what we talked about earlier. They would use it for temporary hunting and for berry picking camp. So the reality of it is probably what she saw was some type of remnants of the Klamath tribe.
Oh, man, I don't like the woods. I just don't.
So here's a cool story, too. This one I found unique. Not really scary, but unique. This is a story of the old man, and we've got a picture of this, too. Now, the old man isn't a man at all. It's a mountain hemlock, which is a pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's 35 feet tall, and it floats straight up and down in the water.
What do you mean?
You know how you would normally see a log in the water long ways floating on top?
Yeah.
No, this one's straight up and down like a fishing bobber. It can travel as much as 4 miles in a day. What's more amazing? It's been there for over 100 years. It's been there since 1896 at least. It's grayish white, and it's almost like bones bobbing in and out of the water. So Ranger Grimes, who's one of the rangers out there, people ask him, well, how come you don't get out and stand on it to take pictures and stuff like that? And he said, because we don't mess with the old man.
I'd be like, hell no.
In 1988, there was a submarine exploratory group out there, a bunch of scientists and stuff like that. And they were afraid this thing might do some damage to the ship because it just floats around.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you can always see the top of it, though, right?
Yeah. So as soon as they started they decided to tie it up and they were going to pull it to shore. And as soon as they got it all tied up, the weather just turned really ugly.
Ugh.
I mean, it got, wind was blowing. The water became white caps and stuff. It was getting so rough. And they decided to just let it go. And they unhooked it. And they said within a few minutes, the weather completely cleared up. And when you talk to the rangers, they basically say that the old man has taken a beating over the years. They said it used to stick out of the water about 4 feet. Now it's only sticking out about 3 feet.
Yeah, so I wonder, so it's not really connected to the bottom of the lake.
No,
it just floats around.
Mm-hmm. And it's the reason it's not decaying is because the water stays so cold.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's all we got.
But it always just stands erect? It don't just fall over or anything?
Yep, forhims.com.
Good grief. That's so cool, though.
So then,
why didn't anybody ever take it out? I wonder if anybody has ever tried to remove it.
I just told you what happened when they tried to remove
it. Well, that's true, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know why over the years somebody wouldn't have just tried to take it out.
Now it's just a part of it. It probably would be terrible not to have it in there.
So here's the story I saved. July 4th, 1947. Mr. and Mrs. Cornelius, by all accounts, a very happy couple. They went to go on a hike, and they were having a great time. At one point, though, during the hike, the man just stopped in his tracks. She said he had a very blank look on his face. And then he suddenly just hands his wife his wallet and jumps off the cliff towards the lake. He tried to jump into the lake. The fall only broke his leg, so he crawled to the lake and drowned himself.
What the crap? What was she just sitting there watching him?
She was lost. She said they were completely happy. There was nothing. They were having a great time. It just instantly, just like something captivated him. And
wow. That's horrifying for her.
Now, there's another version of the story. I mean, it's basically the same, but instead of him jumping off a cliff, it says that he sat on a snow chute that was near the old lake trail, and he slid to the lake in an attempt to commit suicide. But she said she was in total shock that something just happened, and it made no sense to her at all. So the unusual amount of strange suicides in this place is way up, because a lot of times people that commit suicide, there's some kind of inkling that something's wrong. But these people, most of the ones that commit suicide in this park, seem to generally be happy. Not just, I just didn't see that happen. They're just literally happy people. And the other thing is the lack of suicide notes here. You know, a lot of people, when they do commit suicide, not everybody, but a lot of people do leave a note behind. And apparently the majority of people here that commit suicide, they're a lot like that, where something weird just happened and it just doesn't make sense to anybody. And there's never a note.
See, then there's a crack in the seam. It's not completely closed off, because if that was the case, that would not be happening.
So, I don't know. It's just definitely a weird setup out there. Where
can you imagine, though? Just walking along the dang path and then you just do something like that. What in the world?
It's so random.
I mean, she had to be... I mean, I'm like saying, why didn't she try to stop him? But, I mean, she had to be so shocked.
She had no clue. Because by all accounts, I mean, it was literally just... They were close, I think, already to the edge. And he just turned to her, hand his wallet, and went and jumped. So.
That is so weird. Aww.
I don't know.
Wow. That's really crazy.
So, guys, we're coming upon the end of the show. I want to give some really quick iTunes thank yous, because you guys left some reviews. And once again, that helps more than you will ever realize the show. So, we got Elena315, TM Walsh, VLAD210, Jeffrey Vega, Norm is 81, probably not. He's probably not 81.
No.
M. Worley, B. Bracken 14, Ryan Fletch, Chris Lowell 36, Hot Log, is that right? Or is that Hot Low 9?
No, it's Hot L-O 9.
Oh, Hot Low 9.
Log, it does look like log.
It does, what you're writing.
I'm sorry.
So the Patreons this week, like I said, we had an awesome month. Thank you guys so much.
Yes,
can't
thank
tell you
all
much.
So much.
Karen Burrows. Heather, I can't tell if this is math or math. I know we talked to you a little bit earlier. You had some very super nice things to say about us. So thank you so much for that. Jessica Umberhant, Karen Ashley, John Applegate, Sheila Perkins, and Carrie Palmer. Thank you guys so much. We greatly appreciate everything you've done. Of course, we got Laura. And Laura, I'm probably going to butcher your name too.
It looks like
Laura Matchkey, Ken Milligan, and Raymond Garcia. So thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome. We love you, and we'll be hearing you and seeing you on the shorts.
Yeah, thank you guys. We appreciate you so much, and we hope you have a blessed week.
Hey, Hillbillies, if you guys enjoy what we do here on the show every week and appreciate all the hard work we put into it, consider being one of our Patreon supporters. All you got to do is go to our website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com, click on the tab for donations, and you'll see the Patreon link right there. Click on it, and you can go to our Patreon page. Then you will have a decision to make. You can choose the $1, the $3, the $5, or the $10 donation. Each one gets you different things a month. But regardless, you get some free stuff. Just check out the bonuses under each tier and you'll see what you get for free for that month, but you'll get something free regardless. Also, if you'd like to buy any Hillbilly Horror Story merch, you're also in the right place on the website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. Just click on the store page and see whatever it is that you like. Click on a few links, send a little bit of money, and your item will be on its way. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We love you. We thank you. And we appreciate you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.